Pastor Haley is joining me for this series, and we've entitled it Parenting with Purpose. And there is a big, big purpose that God has for us as moms and dads. And I realize and recognize that many of you here are not moms and dads, or your kids are older than me, and your grandparents. But I think what we're going to be sharing, it can help you at every stage of life, because maybe you are uncles and aunties and grandparents, but there are still children in your life that you influence, all right? If you're a single person, you need to have a vision for being a mom and a dad before you get married, not after you get married, because it will also affect the type of people that you date and court. Is this person going to be a great dad? Is this person going to be a great mom? And so it's been awesome to be able to share some of these things that have been in our hearts for a number of years.
Yeah. And it's been fun putting it together during the week. It's been great memories for us as well, and we just hope we're being a blessing and help to you. We've gotten lots of responses this past week of people that gained new insight that they didn't know before, so we hope to continue doing that with you guys. When we're talking about purpose, parenting with purpose, we're not talking about our purpose, society's purpose, or your family's purpose. We're talking about God's purpose. Amen. It's God's purpose, because God is the one that has a reason that we're on this earth, because He wanted people in His life. And then we procreated the earth. And so everything that we do in raising our children is in His purpose, so that they can live and grow and be godly people themselves. We saw this in Genesis 18, where God was speaking to Abraham before he even had his son Isaac. God said to him, I've singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. So parenting is from God and for God.
And we came up last week, we gave you what we feel is a biblical purpose statement of why we parent and what it is that we're trying to produce when we parent. All right, if you just look up here on the screens, it says to raise Jesus-following, mature, grown-up, independent, successful adults. And all of these words are as God defines them, not as the world defines them. Because sometimes we think, well, this person has two cars and a holiday home, they must be successful. Well, no, the way God defines success is to fulfill His plan and to do His will. And so we want to raise kids that are going to be successful in that regard. But again, notice the very last word is adult. And so the purpose of parenting is to raise an adult, not to perpetuate childhood. Okay? The Bible says that for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So when we get married and when we want our kids to get married, they're supposed to be adults. And we've got a problem in society today is we've got a lot of kids getting married. Now they're 28 and 27, but they're kids. All right? They haven't grown up. And so as moms and dads, a big, big part of our job is to help them to become adults in Jesus. So today we want to look at an aspect, a foundation of parenting. And in a sense, it really is the first step, and that is connecting through love. Loving your kids. And as we go from week to week, what you're going to find is we kind of feel like the Lord is going to give us another layer on the top of another layer. So if you miss a message, get it at the bookshop, download it on the internet, because one week is going to build on another. So first of all, we are commanded to love. Look at John, the 13th chapter. The Gospel of John in verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you." Tell your neighbor, this is for you. "That you love one another as I have loved you." So it's not our version of love. It's the Jesus love. "That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So one another certainly includes the children that we bring into this world.
And we can see this as apparent in Titus 2 verse 4. "These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. And typically the emphasis is on loving your husband, but today we want to, it also says, and their children. A parent must be able to show love and acceptance for their children simply because they belong to us. They're our child. It's not what they've done for us. It's not the wonderful awards that they get in life. It's just because they're our child. And because they're our child and they belong to us, they're mine, we love them. Full stop. All right? So let's look at why loving our children is so important. And the first place we want to look is it's just a basic need that we have as human beings. It's the basic need of being loved. We all love to feel loved, right? We all love when it's your birthday and on Facebook, 50 people have acknowledged that it's your birthday, right? And it makes you feel good. Okay? Or you get a text from a friend just acknowledging your presence for the day, missing you. This may sound silly to some of you, but yesterday Walker and I were sitting in the living room. He had been out for a while and he came back in and he said, "Oh, isn't this weather awesome?" I said, "It is, but I actually just got a chill." And he looks over at me and said, "Would you like me to make you a cup of tea?" Right? Okay, I felt loved. He was very sensitive to my... And I wasn't asking for a cup of tea, but we all love to be loved. The first place that a child is supposed to experience this and receive this is it's as a baby and growing up in the home. That's the first place a person should ever experience it. That you should, from the time you're really, really little, you feel loved and accepted by mom and dad. And the thing is if as a parent you're not showing this love to your children and they're not feeling it and experiencing it, then we've actually just set our path. Because again, like Walker said, this is the foundation. Love is the foundation. And if that doesn't come to the child, we've set up our children with a negative influence and a path to not the way God would have it. All right. As a child, if I don't receive love, I actually feel defective. I'm not good enough. No one values me. What's wrong with me? And we start questioning who we are. And that's what's so important that we feel that love. Go ahead.
Another big reason why it's important to love our kids is because our kids are going to see God in us. Right? They really don't come from birth with a concept of who God is, but they know who we are. And I think all of us have experienced that there are certain things about God that we have a hard time understanding if we didn't see it from our parents. And so we don't want to handicap our kids in that way. Look at Psalm 22 in verse 9. This is really an amazing verse when you understand what it's saying. Psalm 22 verse 9. Psalmist says about God, says, "Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast." That's a long time ago that we began to trust God. And so even from infancy, as a little baby feels that warmth and love from a mother and the nourishment that comes from her, what's happening is, I think I'm beginning to trust, and I think I can trust God. All right, something happens on the inside of them. If you think about in the New Testament, it was a big, big shift from the Old Testament. God had a lot of names that he revealed himself as in the Old Testament. But there was one name that he became known as in the New Testament. Remember the Lord's Prayer? When you pray, say this, our Father. So over 200 times in the New Testament, God is referred to as Father. Now, if God is a father, and he is, a child, when he's introduced to God, should be able to say, "Oh yeah, I had one of those. I had a father who cared, who disciplined me, who was involved. Yeah, and these aspects that I understand about God, I first saw at home in my parents."
As a child, we have a need for bonding. We already talked about baby being on mom's breast, but it's not just mom alone. It's dad bonding with the child as well. And it's dad, maybe when the breastfeeding's done, dad takes the baby and births the baby. But there's got to be a closeness even from the beginning with dad as well. It's not a season where it's just mom because she's breastfeeding. Dad should be involved from the very beginning. So what is bonding? It's connectedness. It's being connected to another human being, literally feeling their skin. Okay? And it's a deep bond on the inside. To be known at this level is to be truly understood. My mom and dad know me. They know who I am. They know my makeup. They know what's going on with me. And when we're bonded with another person, we feel that we make a difference to them, that we matter to them. They miss us when we're not around. They rejoice when we come into their presence. All right, so there's this connection, this bonding that happens. And again, it is our basic human need to be loved and to feel love. All right? We're never overlooked by them. We're never forgotten by them. We are constantly on their mind. Here's another part is there's so many children that grow up in a home and they literally feel like they've just been tolerated until they get out of the house. Oh, don't do that to your children. Embrace them and let them feel your love and your connectedness.
People that study about childhood and babies and those kinds of things, they tell us that a baby that is not held and touched, is their development is severely handicapped and stunted. In fact, there are cases where in an orphanage or somewhere where a baby maybe is being fed but not touched by another human being, they die physically. And so because we have this need and a baby and a child that when they cry out, they have to know that someone is coming. Someone heard me. Someone cares about me. And so we need that as a baby and as a small child, but I think we need it as teenagers as well. My parents were divorced when I was 12, and so my dad was physically gone, and I saw him a few times a month here and there. But mom now is overwhelmed, and she's raising two boys who are pretty keeping her pretty busy. And financial strain and all these things. And so, in a sense, she wasn't completely capable of hearing me. And so, as a teenager, what I did is I just figured out no one is listening. No one is answering anything that I'm saying. And so what I did is I just decided to kind of do life alone. And it took me a while to figure out that that's a really dumb way of doing life. Okay? So we need to stay connected and bonded to our kids at different stages and times of their life to know them and to know what's going on.
So when there's not connection, there's suffering that happens. So that connection is important. As parents, we are called to be the primary source of our children's life and love and of their growth. And when those things don't happen again, their growth is stunted and they actually grow up to be a bunch of children living in adult bodies, because we've stifled the development that we were supposed to give to them when they were growing up in our home. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very destructive. Without feeling loved, they're not developing properly, and they're emotionally crippled. Mm-hmm. All right? So you guys, love, it's so important. So important.
Love produces security. It produces security. And that means that I belong to someone, someone belongs to me. I am with them. And so when we feel secure, it gives a structure in our life. You know the feeling of, you know, maybe you've been away from your home or wherever you live, or maybe you're just out for the day, but when you get home and you close the gate and you close the door and you get wherever you are, isn't there just a feeling of home, right? And it feels good, and you feel safe. Okay, as parents, we're the ones that are supposed to create that feeling for our kids to know I'm home and I'm safe and I'm secure. Somebody loves me. Someone is aware of me. Now, when this doesn't happen, sometimes there are some reasons why. And we want to just briefly look at some of those reasons and how we can overcome that.
So why would we not show love? Maybe you're married and you didn't plan on getting pregnant, or maybe you're single and you shouldn't have gotten pregnant. You basically now there's this child inside, and both the man and the woman didn't want that child. All right? And so with that, the thing is if we don't change our attitude about that, we know we're not going to abort that child. That's sin. We're not going to have another sin. So we're not going to abort that child. We're not going to kill that child. But do you know, even from the beginning of time, when an inception happens, that child feels your love. And they feel your presence. And they feel what you feel about them. And so we're going to need to change our mind about that and go ahead and accept our child and love our child, because that child belongs to us. And again, this is not just for the woman. It's also for the man, right? And so we're going to have to transition to that. A single person, you need to repent. A married person, we need to embrace what's happened and love our child anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, the role model for our love towards our kids is God Himself. Because the first thing we know about God is God is love. We see this in 1 John 4, 6, and 7. That He is love. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So love comes from Him. It is His nature. It's who He is. Secondly, the love that we receive and we know from God is also unconditional love. And that is that God is not waiting to check off 10 boxes of your life. Okay, you're smart, you're good looking, you're a churchgoer. Okay, 10 out of 10. All right, now I'm going to love you. No, he loves because it's who He is. There are no strings or conditions on it. We see Jesus felt and received this love from His Father in Matthew 3:17, when He was starting His earthly ministry. A whole lot of people weren't going to love Him. And His Father was going to let Him know, hey, before you start, I want you to know I love you. And God said from heaven, this is My dearly loved Son who brings Me great joy. So there was a connection. There was affirmation. The Father expressed His emotion. And I don't need any other reason to love Him other than He's My Son. And I remember the birth of both of our kids. And obviously, you know, I know that they're in my wife's uterus, and we see the pictures and the videos, and they're in there, and we knew that it was a boy and a girl beforehand. But when they arrive, oh, you're just finished. Because here is this person that belongs to you. And their hair looks like you, and their eyebrows look like your wife, and they're yours. And I don't need a reason to love them, because they're mine. And so that kind of love comes from God.
Yeah. And God loved us before we loved Him back, right? It started with Him to us. So the same thing with our parenting. Where does the love begin? From parent to child. Because like Walker said, they're ours. They're mine. God went first and He loved us. First John 4:19 said, we love Him because He first loved us. We love our kids first. We are the initiators. And then He shows us His love. He demonstrates His love in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. When did He do this? In that while we were yet sinners. So when things weren't going so good, in the middle of that, while we were still sinners, He died for us. He showed us His love. And as parents, we don't love our kids when they get good grades, when they get the part in the musical. That's not when we show them love. We love them just because they're ours. They don't have to prove anything to us for us to love them because of just who they are. We love them always and forever, even when they're stinky. Even when things aren't going well, we show them our love.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Romans 5:8 that we just read, it says that God demonstrates His love. And that means He proves it. There's action behind it. All of us probably in our life, there are certain people that we doubt their love because they don't show it, right? There's no expression. And so we're left wondering, do they really love us? But hopefully all of us have some people in our life that we know, oh, they love me. Because they do this and they do this and they do this. And so we want to take this to right now and kind of take it just from theory, and we could. But let's look at actual ways that we can demonstrate love to our kids. And one of the things we see in Romans 5:8 is that he loved us when we were sinners. So we weren't awesome yet. We were bad. We were dirty. And that's when he started loving us. And so a big part of loving our kids is not waiting for them to be perfect.
Right. And it's being involved in their life in the good and the bad. It's taking time with them with that involvement. We're interested in their lives, the good and the bad. We're interested in them, like I said, when they come home and they've made theater, we rejoice with them. But there were many a nights, 1 o'clock in the morning, and Jess would tap on the door and about ready to go to bed. Yes, 1 o'clock in the morning, she'd just finished homework. She said, "Mom, do you have a few minutes? I've got some stuff going on." And she starts sharing, just pouring out her heart with some anxieties that she has. And I want to be involved and get in there with her. When our kids had a program at school, whether it was sports or theater or music or whatever it was, we were there. I can probably tell you on one hand how many things I didn't go to in all of their days at their school. Just very much being involved up at the school with them as well. We've got to get involved with them when they mess up. Because our children mess up from time to time, right? And it's not a time that they need mom and dad coming down hard on them and being angry with them. It's working through that together with them to get to the other side of it. Letting them know we love you. We love you. And what you've done, let's talk about that. Let's deal with that. But we love you so much. And so we created a safe environment in our involvement with them. We had a safe environment that they knew they could always come and talk to mom and dad about anything that they needed to. They need assurance of our love, especially when things aren't perfect. All right? It's not the time to bring the hammer down again. So we want to be there for them. Hebrews 12:6 says, "Whom the Father loves, he corrects and disciplines." And I want you to hear this statement. I read this week, and I just thought it was very profound. And it says, "God has sided with us against sin and the consequences of sin. That is why he put Jesus on the cross." Because God was on our side. So he put Jesus on the cross to help us. So in the same way, we need to side with our children when they disobey. And we side with them in their disobedience out of love and not in anger to help them overcome their disobedience or their sin. We side with them. So really, you guys, when you've got these times where you've got to get into your child's life with correction, lean into it. Enjoy that confrontational time with your kids, because the other side of it is great things. And you let them know you're for them. You're not against them. What they've done isn't good, but I'm with you. And I want to help see this through with you.
Yeah. Our kids, when we discipline, and just to let you know, in a few weeks, we're going to take a whole Sunday on discipline, because it's a big deal. But today we just wanted to introduce the idea that discipline and love are not two separate things. They are the same thing. All right? God's discipline and correction in our life is a sign of his love as much as physical healing and deliverance and help and all the things that he does. So when we tell our kids that they've been wrong, and we're with them, they need to know that. Sometimes the way we tell our kids, it works against us, because sometimes parents say, you know, "Look what you've done to the family," right? "Consider how you've made me look. You've brought disgrace to your father." And really what we're telling them is not that we're with you against this problem. We're just all the way on our own telling you how bad you are. And really, it's a sign of selfishness. We really don't care about you. We care about how bad we look. All right, so don't say those kinds of things. And so love is maintained through the discipline and in the discipline. All right, we don't withhold love as a disciplinary tool. We don't say insulting and hateful words as a disciplinary tool. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with us? Okay? We don't make them go without food or sleep outside. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Okay? We still maintain our love and our provision in their life, but there are going to be consequences, and we'll talk about that. Now, secondly, another way that we can show love to our kids is through physical affection. Hugs and kisses. All right? Babies love it. Teenagers sometimes back away. All right? But hug your kids. Kiss your kids. Both of us, as we were talking this week, we remember our parents kissing us at night. And we'd get in bed and they'd come say prayers or do whatever they're going to do. And my parents did that till I was big. All right? Like into the teens. And, you know, my dad had real, real thick beard and a lot of hair, and he smoked. So when he came to give me a kiss on the forehead, it was sometimes not pleasant, but I always remember that I felt his care and his warmth and his affection.
My father would often go to the office at night, not often, but from time to time. And if he'd leave after dinner to go back to the office, he said, "I need to give you your goodnight kiss now." Because he would never leave us at night without kissing us. It was just a part of the routine, and to tell us how much he loved us. And even when I'm visiting today, I don't go to sleep at their house without him saying how much he loves me. It's true. Yeah. It's very true. His unconditional love was amazing, my father.
Now, as your kids get older, and this is our opinion, don't stop kissing them. All right? You know, my little girl, you know the whole daddy's girl thing. Well, she is daddy's girl. All right? And, boy, if one of you want to marry my daughter, she grew up in Zambia, and you've never heard of Lobola till you come and see me. Baby, I will scare away all the amateurs. Okay, but obviously a little girl doesn't stay a little girl. She becomes a woman. She goes through adolescence, and so I haven't stopped hugging her. I just hug her from the side. All right, I kiss her on the cheek. I kiss her on the forehead. All right, but she still knows that I love her. In a physical way, because here's what happens sometimes is that a dad, especially a dad, you know, when their daughter starts going through puberty, they're like, "Hey, I'm scared. I can't touch her. I can't be around them." And so, but your daughter recognizes that, and so for 12 years you've been affectionate with her in a godly and a healthy way, and all of a sudden one day it just stops. And the problem is she's in grade 7, and there's a long list of fools in her school of young punked boys that will happily take your place to show your daughter physical affection, okay? And sometimes her heart and her soul is kind of hungry, all right? But dads and moms, love your kids and hug them and kiss them and
you
sit
guys,
close to them.
Yeah, and that stage, both boys and girls, when you're going through puberty, it is so awkward. It's so awkward for those young people.
Yeah.
And they need mom and dad more than ever.
They need
that
more.
Even in their awkwardness, yep. Mom and dad love them. And we're going to help see them through that.
Yeah.
Because the other side of that change is it's big growth. And going into, you know, to being a woman, being into a, well, man physically.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from the inside yet.
But let me address, and I think sometimes parents get afraid of this because there are, you know, cases of child defilement, sexual abuse, those kinds of
yeah.
things. And obviously, but those are two very, very separate things. To show appropriate physical love to your kids should never in any way cross any sexual line. Obviously, private parts are just that. They're private. Okay, but let me. This is just on a side note: is that parents And I pray this would never happen to anybody at Miracle Life. But if your child does come with a complaint, or my cousin or an uncle, or God forbid even a spouse was touching me in inappropriate ways, you better take that seriously, and you better listen, because there's some very sad things that happen out there, and you know we read about them in the paper, and it happens, but you know. Every now and then, some of those people are actually in our family, and maybe they're just messed up people, okay? But those types of things need to be reported to the police. And thank God we have a nation that addresses those situations, and there are people that are trained for that. But if someone is a pedophile, they do not need to be covered. They need to be in jail. Okay, our society needs to be protected. And just because it's your cousin, because here's what people do. What will that do to the family? Well, it happened to the family when your cousin decided to be a pedophile. Okay? When you report a fire, you didn't start the fire. You're bringing help to put it out. Okay? And there are very, very tragic things that kids actually spoke up. And no one listened.
And at that point, if you're not going to listen, you're communicating your lack of love and protection for your child.
Yeah.
So you need to hear what they say and take some action. And let them know mom and dad are going to sort this out.
Yeah. All right. So another way, number three, another way that we show love, we demonstrate love to our kids, is through our words, words that we say to them.
Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words have life and death. And the way you speak to your children is going to bring life or death to them. My heart breaks, and I see this all the time. I see it out in our foyer. I see it down at Mondahill, where a child is misbehaving, and the mom or dad is very quick to say, "You're so naughty, Johnny. You're a naughty boy." No, he's not a naughty boy. He just did a naughty thing. And you've got to separate the child from what the child does. And you address what they do, not who they are. Okay? And it's so important, because every time you're doing that, you're saying, "I don't like you. I don't like you." All right? So you've got to separate those two. Our words need to be words of affection and words of love. And even in our times of correction, that correction is done with love. So our words are so important. And the best place to start, and so many people have a hard time with this, but the best place to start is, "I love you." It's that simple. It's just looking at your child all day long. "I love you. Mommy loves you so much. It touches my heart just seeing you smile. I love your little red hair, Jessica." You know? And so just letting your child hear those words from your mouth. "I love you." Me personally, growing up, my dad said it constantly, all the time. My mom didn't. So I had a father who was giving unconditional love, a mother that was giving conditional love. And I remember when Walker and I had gotten married, and my mom was visiting us, and I remember her pulling me aside, and she said, "Haley, I didn't ever tell you I loved you." And she had basically matured and grown and dealt with her past stuff. And she said, "And I just want to let you know, I'm sorry for all those years of not telling you. But even then, and even now, I love you so much. And now every time I'm on the phone with my mom, I love you. I love you." All right? Those words are just powerful. Amen. So let's be aware of the words that we say. To our kids, all the time, both of them, "I love you to the moon and back, Jesse." And she'll say, "The moon and back. Well, I love you to the moon and back again." Okay? But they remember those little things that are in them. And then Walker would always say, especially to Jessica, well, I guess it was only to Jessica, whatever age I was, he would go under my age. And so he'd say, "Jessica, you're my favorite girl under the age of 30 in the whole wide world." Okay? And so again, she just felt loved and precious because daddy loves his little girl. The other thing in Zephaniah 3:17, God rejoices over us with singing. Because singing is words, right? And so he rejoices over us with singing. He delights over us with song. Do y'all know that God sings over you? He really does. And so what does that mean? We should sing over our children. We're to be like examples to them. And so my son, we sang a lot, but my big song that I sang to Tim, who's that little boy in the mirror smiling back at me? He's so cute and he's so handsome. I think his name is, and he just giggled, Timothy. And there's more and more verses that go along with that. But over and over, we would sing melodies and songs to our children, letting them know how much we love them, making up songs all the time about them and for them. Just precious things.
Whenever I put Jessica to bed when she was a little girl, you remember, some of you are old enough to remember, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe.
I Got You, Babe.
Bop, 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 bop. I Got You, Babe. Everybody under 25 is looking at me like,
what are you talking about?
Go on YouTube. Go hear some real music that you can understand. But anyway, I'd put her to bed and I'd poke her belly, or I'd punch her in, you know, nose. In her nose, and I'd say, I got you, babe. And then she'd point at me. She says, I got you, babe. And I'd grab her hand. I said, I got you to hold my hand. I've got you to understand. And I actually went and got the CD at the CD shop, and I put it in. It was like a 60s and 70s compilation or whatever. And I just dance around the room with her. I got you, babe. Bup, 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 bup. And he said, oh, that's silly. Well, nobody's taken a video of it, so. Music has a way of capturing our emotions more than preaching. More than talking, all right? And so have songs do that with them, all right? Number four, another way that you can show, demonstrate love is affirm their uniqueness. Affirm their uniqueness. As multiple kids come into the home, or, you know, other people that you know, there may be cousins or brothers or sisters, siblings, they are going to be different. Boys are different than girls. God wires them differently, even from the womb. They have all different kinds of differences, but they need to know, I am special and I am important.
One of the best things that helped me understand and learn this was seeing the difference, not the boy-girl thing with Tim and Jess, but their personalities. So Tim is very, very methodical. And so he had these little rubber automobile, or what do you call it?
Oh, cars and
cars
boats
and boats and different things. And he would either line them up by, here's all the boats and here's all the trains and here's all the trucks, or there were six, and they were all color-coded as well. So, or he would put all the purple ones and all the orange ones, and just very, very methodical. And Jess, a little bit different. She's just kind of chaos and mess and kind of all over the place.
She's awesome. At our house, if you ever came to eat at our house, I think usually what
to
would
this
be,
day,
be,
this
be
is today.
Haley, me, Jess, and Tim, right? Mm-hmm. Even to this day. So when we pick up the plates and everything, there'll be two places where there's not a crumb, there's no gravy, there's nothing. That's Haley and Tim. Jess and I, we're too busy enjoying food to worry about.
And the sauces are all over, and the napkins are down to a, yeah, yeah.
And usually it's right after she just cleaned the tablecloth, I'll inaugurate it with peri-peri sauce or tomato sauce. Okay.
So just a great example of that, though, is so I will ask my children to go clean their rooms. And so I'd go check on Tim's room, and the books are lined up in the shelf in alphabetical order, or from big to small. Every single shelf, perfect. All right, that's just one part of it. I'd go into Jessica's room. She'd taken all the books that were on the floor, and she's thrown them on the shelf. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what has she done? But what I really learned was this. You couldn't walk in her room before. It was just covered with stuff, all right? But what I learned was, when she threw the books up on the shelf and got them off the floor and shoved everything else under her bed, she did clean up her room. It was a big step for her. And so if I were to go in there and say, Jess, you're not doing it like your brother. Right there, what have I done? I've just cut her down to pieces and said, your brother's better than you. He's not better. He's different. And she's different. And really, the truth of the matter is, Jessica is one of the most creative and musical. And she's just that personality in her, it just comes out with beautiful things. Maybe not in her bedroom, but in other places. Okay? So we've got to embrace our children where they are, with who they are. And then help them as they move forward in life to take those gifts that are inside of them and those strengths that are inside of them to help them become all that God wants them to be.
Amen. Psalm 139, the psalmist is talking about to God. And in verse 13, it says, "You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Your kids are wonderfully made by God. Now, they may be certain personalities clash that drive you crazy, but they're wonderful. God has made them that way, and they're marvelous, and that needs to be communicated to them. Number five, another way that we show love is to create and give to them a sense of belonging. I belong in this family.
I said, "I belong to you. You belong to me. You're mine." Y'all know that one? Or is that for the old people don't know it and the younger ones do? All right. Everyone wants to feel like they belong somewhere. Everyone does. And so we created an environment at our house where our kids would want to come home and bring their friends to our home because it was a safe environment. It was a loving environment. It was a place that people wanted to be. All right. And you guys, with this, every single child, whether you've got two kids in your home or you've got 10 kids in your home, every single child that's with you, they want to feel that same belonging. And one thing that I see too much in society is it seems that the oldest child or the oldest boy has that sense of belonging from mom and dad, but the rest of the kids don't necessarily. And we shouldn't be showing different acceptance for each children. We had them, and we should accept every single one of them just as they are. There's not one more special than the other. You know. And then there's a lot of families, and they talk about the black sheep of the family. Okay, don't have one in yours. Don't have one. Don't let that happen. If there is a child that seems to be a little bit harder to pull back into alignment, well, you know what? Keep working at it. But don't you dare make him feel like he's the black sheep. Okay? Because he's not. For starters, he's not.
Or the purple sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Sure.
Okay. Number six, spend time. Spend time with your kids. Wherever you spend time and wherever you vote in that way, you're ascribing value to that thing. Okay? Time is our most precious commodity. Money, we can get more. We can always pull more copper or gold out of the ground. You can't get more time. You can't go back. You can't create more. Okay? So how we spend our time communicates our value to our kids. And I realize that Miracle Life and 2015 in Lusaka, it's in a sense, it's a very busy time. And there are parents that are working and, you know, just to keep their kids in school. And that's awesome that you're showing that responsibility. But don't come home every night at 21 hours so tired that you're not there for your kids. Be there. Spend time. Go on holidays. Take weekends. It's one of the reasons why at Miracle Life we don't have a conference every time there's a holiday. Because we want you to spend that with your family. We have enough time to do church and we'll have conferences and that's all great. But spend time with them. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't have a lot of quantity, but we have quality time." No, you need both.
Yep.
Okay, you need both quantity and quality. One of the things you can do to make it more quality at home is turn off the TV. Turn off the cell phone. Jessica was good with us. The last year she was with us, you know, sometimes we'd be at home sitting around having dinner and your cell phone is right there because after all, you have to know everything that's happening on your cell phone at all times. Because everything is so important. Every time somebody likes your picture on Facebook, I have to know that. And so we'd be checking our phone, and sometimes Jessica would just say, "Okay, when you're done looking at your phone, I'm going to keep talking."
In other words, when you've got a little bit of time for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So turn that stuff off. They really need your attention. And one of the greatest places that many, many families find to connect and to show time is at dinner, supper time. Okay, people are busy, people are doing stuff, But create an atmosphere in your home that you don't have four different suppers. And then dad comes and has his supper in front of the TV. Okay. Create a space. Create. I know it's challenging. And it might not be possible every day. But try to make it possible, you know, most days. Is that we come. We sit. We're not in the TV room. We're sitting at a table. And we're engaging with one another.
Right. It's not just mom and dad talking. It's finding out how the kids' day was. You value them as well. And then they tell you something horrible that happened at school. And you have a teaching moment to discuss what they thought about all that. All right? It's a wonderful, wonderful place to connect with your children.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let me actually just one more thing on that. I'll never forget this one day because it was crazy. And we used to live closer to the church. And there was one day I literally drove back and forth between church appointments and school functions 5 times one day. I was worn out at the end of that day because Jess had a little thing. I think she was in like 3rd grade and Tim was in 5th grade or something like that. And she had this thing that was very, very early in the morning. Then I came back to church and I had a meet. And then I ran back out there because Tim had something at the later part of the day. And I ran back 5 times. Okay? They knew mom valued them that day. All right? Mm-hmm. Let's have value for our children and let them see the time that we will give to them as well.
And we kind of touched on this, but lastly, number 7 is listen to them. Mm-hmm. Listen to them. I think we've all been in conversations with people and they don't look at you. Especially like if you're at a business function or where there's a whole bunch of people. I've certainly, you know, where you're talking to someone and they're looking over your shoulder to see if there's anyone more important than you that they can talk to because you're a waste of their time. Have you ever had that? And you feel diminished. You feel cheap when someone doesn't listen to you, if you don't have a voice. And so a great way to show value and love to our kids and that they're important is simply to listen to them. And you know what that means? It means that sometimes I have to sit at the dinner table and listen as to why this latest Justin Bieber album is so awesome. And I'm like, what do you mean? It is not awesome. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, this is ridiculous, you know. But you just, oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, Taylor Swift. Boy, she is really something. Yeah.
You get into their world. Get into their world with them.
Yeah. Listen to them. Value. As a parent, you know, you're the leader in that home, but you're not the dictator of the home. You know, and some people, some parents, it's like they went to military school on how to be a parent. You know, father has spoken. There will be no more discussion. The gavel, boom. Don't be a dictator. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that God says, let your request be made known to God. Mm. 1/3 of the Psalms are psalmists saying, God, I am hurting. They're lamentations. Things are not okay. And God says, tell me about it. Let's talk about it. All right. So create an atmosphere like that. And again, let them have a voice. Not disrespect, all right? Not rudeness, because we need to prepare them for the world. But let them have an opinion. If you think about Jesus, remember when he was in the temple and his mom said, Jesus, where were you? You're gone for 3 days, we thought you were with. And what did he do? He spoke up, you know? He said, well, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? Did you notice what Mary didn't do? She didn't smack him in the face. How dare you talk to me? I'm your mother. Okay? Right? Now, Jesus did not sin when he did that. Because when he went to the cross, he had not sinned even when he was 12 years old. Now, that's the miracle. That little boys didn't, that Jesus as a little boy didn't sin. Forget the water and the wine. That is a miracle that a little boy didn't sin. Okay? What are some ways to get in their world?
No, again, it's finding out what they love. And it's exactly what he just said. Even the music that they listen to. I mean, some of the music these kids play, I just think, oh, my goodness. But I'll go sit, or they want to show you a YouTube video. So you'd go sit there with a smile on your face. And, well, what'd you like about it, Tim? What'd you like about it, Jess? So you go find their world. Or I even loved it when my kids, especially Tim, he'd bring these boys home, and I'd just go sit in there with them and chatting with them. And he'd say, and I'd say, Tim,
and
you
they
mean?
Loved it.
And
too.
They loved it. They did love it too, for a moment. Okay, but they did.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Noah would come over and say, "Is your mom going to be there?" He really would.
You were an awesome mom.
But just to get inside their world and be with them.
And something that happened a lot, and it still happens with, and Haley just has a knack with this with our kids, is, you know, they'll say, well, you know, Tim will say, well, there's a girl. And Jessica will say, yeah, this guy, I'm kind of thinking. And so, you know, Haley doesn't just, you know, what do you mean? You're 17 years old. You're too young to be married. She listens. She hears. She's involved. And so there's a great doorway into their heart. And it, because at 17 years old, you don't know how to handle the opposite sex. At 47, you don't know how to handle the opposite sex. But really, you don't know at 17. I mean, you really don't. And you need a mom and a dad to be there to walk
you
through
that.
Life. And so the only way you're going to know that is if you're listening, if you're tuned in to their heart.
Yeah. So you guys, if you're scared of this stuff, just start practicing little
just
things.
Just start doing it.
Just start doing it. Yeah, just jump in there. Dive in the deep end. Practice it on little things.
We'll talk later at another session, but, you know, kids, at the funniest times and at the funniest age, they'll start asking questions about sex, you know. And you don't rebuke the devil.
Who have you been talking to?
Because here's the thing. If you are not giving them answers, Channel O will give them answers. Okay? And let's give them godly answers. All right? So, as we close, what we're asking you to do is, whether this is for right now or for the future, or again, maybe there's nieces and nephews in your life, but to rely on God. I think all of us realize that we don't have this kind of love in our natural humanity. We need help from God, but we do. We have grace. We have His ability to do this. And one way, Hale, just to kind of take inventory.
So if you're married, get with your spouse today. This is my challenge you today, is go apply this. All right. But start with taking an inventory of where you are. So go sit with your spouse this afternoon and pull out a piece of paper and start writing down things that we need to change, things that we need to stop doing, things that we need to start doing. If you're single, go sit with yourself. It's okay. But let's get this
thing.
If you're a single parent, sure.
Single parent.
So go sit with yourself and make that list as well, because we need to make some adjustments, okay? And again, like we said last week, and we'll just reiterate it again, we were not the perfect parents whatsoever at all. We made mistakes along the way as well, but we are just giving you some of the practical and biblical wisdom that we've received, and we hope that it helps you too. But don't just go walk away, oh, that was a really good message today. No, go apply it.
Yeah.
Go apply it. I want to go talk to your kids. See, he says I like talking to him. I might go find him. How are mom and dad doing now? Okay? Yeah, I might find them.
La policia.
No, it's love.
So, James tells us that the word that we apply and we do is the only word that changes our life. And so, again, great way to start. Just have two columns. Start. I need to start doing some things. And here's something that maybe sometimes where we have resistance on the inside, and who do you think you are? Say, that might just be the Holy Spirit, and you're trying to push him away, okay? And so look for those areas that maybe you thought, you kind of closed down. No, that's probably where you need to start, and give that your attention, amen? Because what we're in, folks, it's a big, big deal. We're raising a generation, and I believe as moms and dads, as families, and, you know, almost every day we see signs that we want our nation to change. How is it going to change? Right here.
Yeah.
When we do this, this is how we're changing, literally changing a nation. Child by child by child, teenager by teenager. Amen?
Amen.
And we're creating the future that we want. All right? Can we pray as we get ready to go today? Father, we love you so much. Lord, I pray for every dad, every mom, every grandparent, aunts and uncles, Father, those that might be engaged, thinking about having kids one day. Father, we realize that we need your help. We need your grace. We know that in our own human flesh, we do not have what it takes. So we ask right now, and we thank you for your help and your ability, that we can be like you. And we can be. Father, you have inhabited us through your Holy Spirit. And that love that's bigger than us is inside of us. And Father, thank you. We express that to another generation, Lord, that we've been given to mold and change their life for your glory and for your purpose. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we talked about love today. And maybe the home you grew up in had a lot, maybe it had a little. But there's a home that God has for you that has a lot of love, because it has a Father who is perfect. It's God Himself. He wants you in that family. But when we were born into this world, we weren't born connected to Him. We were born separated from Him. Why? Because of sin. But God made a plan for our rebellion. He made a plan for our sin. And it wasn't to join a church. It wasn't to be good. It was to have a Savior named Jesus Christ. And He came into the earth and He accepted. He received our sin. And the judgment that should have come to us came to Him. And the Bible says now to everyone who receives Him, God gives those people the power to become the children of God. You can have God as a Father. You can be in the family of God. He has done that for you. Now, what's your part to receive that by faith? I went to a church as a young person, and I was baptized as a baby. I went to a class, but I realized I never received Jesus. I never met Him personally. And friend, that is something you have to do on a personal level in your own heart, your own faith. Confess Him as your Savior and your Lord. If you've never done that, today is your day. Today is the day God can become your Father. Maybe you are a child of God, but like the prodigal son, you've left home. And your life is messed up, it's broken, it's dirty, and you realize, I need to come home to my Father. And you'll find someone who'll restore you, who'll cleanse you, He'll make you brand new. And so right now, I want to pray with you. You are one prayer away from a brand new life with God. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray that prayer with you. Right now, wherever you are, I'd ask you just to lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high. Just wave it at me and say, Pastor, I'm going to pray. I'm coming into the family of God today. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Who else? Say, that's me. I want to give Jesus Christ my heart. I want to follow Him. Wherever you are right now, just lift it up. Say, that's me. I want to give my heart to God. I want to be in His family. Thank you, Lord. Over here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I don't want to miss anybody. Just wave it at me. Just wave it at me. Let me know. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm praying that prayer. All right. Let's all stand to our feet right now. We're going to do just that. We're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. And He's going to do His part. He's going to make us brand new. If you lifted up your hand, I'd ask you just to grab your belongings, whatever you brought with you at church, and just meet me up front. We're going to pray together. You lifted up your hand, or maybe you're thinking, you know what, I should have. I was battling on the inside, but I want to know Jesus. So just come right now. Just take a step out of your old life. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Awesome, awesome decision. Over here. God bless you, ma'am. Thanks for coming. Anyone else? Anyone else? We'll wait for you. You're important to God. All right. All right. Don't be scared. I think there was one or two folks. Sometimes I know I've felt this in a room like this, and you think, well, if I come up, what are people going to say? What are they going to think? Well, here's what we're going to say and think. You are awesome. You are so smart. We're so glad that you're making this decision. All right. Anybody else before we pray? All right. If I were going to give you this Bible as a gift, how would you get it? You just reach out, right? And so the gift that God has for you, it's new life, it's forgiveness, and it's free. But we must receive that by faith. So I'd ask you, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Just say this with me. Just pray this to God. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus Christ for me. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. I give you my heart. I give you the rest of my life. I turn away from sin, from wrong things. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. Amen.